Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Justin Dyke, and he came sixth place in our most recent contest. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to Adonis Index and check out his picks. So, Justin, thanks for being on the call. I guess, just like we normally do, let's start with what did you do as far as working out before you got to our program?
I guess I just did a variety of different things. I did mostly kind of build my own workouts and stuff. I tried supersets and all that type of fun stuff.
Where'd you get your concepts from?
I would, you know, do your typical searches online and kind of manipulate what I find to try to fit my needs, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Okay, so how long were you training for? How old are you to start with?
I am 24.
Okay, and so when did you first, like, pick up a weight?
It had to have been probably about my freshman year of high school or so.
Okay, all right, so you've been training for a while.
Yeah. And then I probably got started getting interested in the nutrition side of it probably about my sophomore year of college.
Yeah, and when you say interested in the nutrition side, what did you mean? Start realizing there might be something to do there?
What I mean by that is I started seeing that there might be advantages of actually controlling nutrition or trying to improve on that mm-hmm. in order to see better goals.
Yeah, instead of just lifting weights.
All right.
Yeah, so what did you actually actively do something about, like, your nutrition at that point? Or are you just reading about it?
What I was doing, I just tried doing the typical eat healthier kind of thing.
Yeah.
And not necessarily calorie intake, like the amount, it was just more or less the quality.
Right. And did that do anything for you? Like, did it change your body or the way you felt?
I kind of eased into it because I didn't really, I liked lifting, but I never liked the controlling what I ate mm-hmm. side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically just adding, changing out foods, the bad foods for good foods
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't really actually start trying to watch, you know, calories and that type of stuff until probably I was probably doing that for like a year or two at least
mm-hmm.
before I actually got, you know, started looking at the amount of calories and that type of stuff and eating six meals a day and that, you know, going along those lines.
Yeah. And when you changed, like, the whole, you know, started paying attention and tried to eat healthier, add in, quote, more good foods, so nothing happened? Like, you just ate the same amount and just, did you even feel different?
No, I felt better because, I know, I started picking up on foods that either fill you up better, you know, that type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
mostly.
Yeah.
And then once I actually started watching the calories, I did see probably, besides this contest, my best improvement. And then after that, I started reading too much and got too in-depth. If I were to say at that level, it probably would have been good.
Okay, so then why don't you tell us about that then? So you started reading, did it just become more obsessive, like starting to think that?
Yeah. I wanted to try to control more things and try to improve on it because basically what happened was I, right around my senior year of college there, I just had a goal to get in, to good shape by my graduation dates because it was a good, you know, good correlation kind of thing.
Yep.
And so I started doing that's when I started planning for that is when I started doing the calorie watch and stuff like that. And then after I got down to a pretty good weight and stuff, I decided that I needed more muscle. So at that time, I was believing the school thought that you needed to eat big to gain muscle.
Right. So
and then from there, I got too involved, I think, is what happened.
Right. And then what happened there? Like as far, what happened to your physique then?
Yeah, I started gaining weight.
Yeah.
I started gaining fat. And it didn't... Looking back at it now, from going through the Adonis life and stuff, I got worse from what, you know, instead of improving, I actually got worse. But my strength was still there and everything, but I just had more fat carrying around.
Yeah, more than you like probably wanted. Yeah, yeah. And that happens to that's the whole conundrum, right? The whole bulking conundrum. You end up like You end up feeling powerful in the gym and all that stuff, but then you're like, oh, damn, but this isn't the look I wanted. And it's kind of a trick because it is a neat feeling to kind of see. I mean, because even when you gain fat while you're gaining like all that muscle strength and mass, I guess, like you are technically bigger, right? Like, and you're bigger all over. The arms are bigger. Everything's bigger. It's never what we think it was going to be. So it's like, it's almost like a bit of a mind game, because there is progress, but it's not the progress you want, but it's still progress, right? It's still moving in a direction versus like not going anywhere. So at what point do you realize, like, oh, maybe I don't like this? How far do you take that until you're like done with it?
I was never one. I've never been really fat. I've never been really skinny. I've always been kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So I took it to like a, I think the biggest I got was probably, it was just under 200 pounds, so I never really got that big.
200 pounds? How tall are you?
But I never. What?
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
So just under 200 pounds. Well, that's not small.
No, it's not small, but it's not overly big, I guess, either. But
well, but that's also, I mean, at least you didn't have a long way to come down as far as fat gain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because I got down to like one. Mid 160s for this.
Yeah,
I think my final weight.
Yeah, so. you got lean. That's for sure. It looks good.
Yeah. Thanks.
So you decide, okay, that's enough. And then is that when you found us, or are you're doing something else like in between?
I was doing something else in between. I end up lowering my calories to cut down a little bit, and I kind of got sick of the whole idea of you got to change from cutting to bulking and cutting to bulking. Mm-hmm. I figured there had to be a better way. And I think I got some type of junk mail from someone else, that one of the mailing lists was on, that linked me to the Adonis.
Uh-huh.
And then I started reading, and that's actually how I got to where, you know, the website and everything.
Oh, cool. All right, and so, and then when you first saw our stuff, what'd you think?
I think I saw it a while back,
yeah,
probably a couple of years ago, and I was like, you know, I didn't really believe it, so I just kind of went on, just kind of ignored it and went on, and like, well, there's obviously going to be something to this, because it's not just like one person saying you should do this, that you had the, you know, the backing of all the other previous winners and that type of stuff. There's obviously had to be something to it, so I read more into it.
Right. So that's interesting. So you it was like your second exposure over time, and then did you just start as soon as you, like, so did you get it right before the contest, or were you in for a while before?
I started before. I started like, I think it was the first week. So it was the last week of April, maybe.
Okay.
And the contest started, so it was in about a month before the contest started.
Yeah, and then was it just a no-brainer for you? You're entering, or what was that process like?
Oh, the thought process to do the contest or not?
Yeah.
It was pretty much a no-brainer. I was like, well, you know, what do I have to lose, basically, I guess? And I think it pushed me more to give me that goal in the back of my mind, and, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah, what do you have to lose? Like, you send some
power. You're already doing the program, so,
yeah,
you have the advantage of all the, you know.
You know, that's a good point. What do you have to lose is a really good way to look at it, because I don't understand why people, I mean, a lot of people do enter and not finish, but at least they enter. And, I mean, that's kind of the what do you have to lose attitude. Like, I don't know why people don't just take that before pick, send it. I'm the only person that sees them. So, and then unless you make it to the end, no one's going to see them. So if it's an embarrassment thing, it's just you and me. And I never show them to anybody, right? So it's just, and then if you do make it and everyone sees them, well, that's good, because that means you transformed and you placed. So that's, I guess maybe it's a shyness thing or something, I don't know, but I think it's worth entering for no other reason than it might add some motivation. And some people,
right,
like,
there's no entry fee or anything like that, so.
No, there's no fee, and it's just, it adds a little bit of motivation, and and there's structure, right? Like there's like without deadlines, none of us get anything done. Like in any aspect of our life, if there's not a deadline, it's so hard to get something done without a deadline. So, and it's like, did you use the forums at all, or was that not your style?
I use the forums. I wasn't an active. I read a lot more than actually posting.
Yeah.
I figured with it being around so long that you could probably most of the questions I have, I could just search for them and
Yeah.
find them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you don't have to be like super active in the forums where some guys, post every day and have like sort of relationships in there where they go back and forth with each other. So you can do it completely, quiet if you want, and that's just another way around it. All right, so what program were you using throughout?
I use just the basics. I think I started with a 3.0, and then the 3.1 came out kind of
Yeah.
midway or whatever.
And then did you any boosters or anything, or you just stick to the 4 days?
Yeah, I would spread out so that I would have day one, two, and then I have the day one of the booster. And I do, yeah. Then I'd have day three, then booster day four, and then rest day at the end.
And you just carried that on just as it was written throughout the whole contest.
Yeah, other than there's certain engagements I had and stuff on the weekends, and I would tweak it a little bit so I would get the same amount of workouts
Yeah.
in and stuff
Now,
like that over, a 2 week window or whatever it was.
yeah, gotcha. And then for nutrition, what'd you do?
I basically, I mean, for the my goal was to just eat three small meals a day, because I would rather have breakfast, lunch, and dinner than just get a meal.
Yep.
And I didn't really warm up to the idea of fasting initially. I saw all the benefits that you and Brad were talking about and this and that, but never really wanted to try it for a while. And then I kind of eased into it, and then I was like, this isn't that bad as you would think. So, your first time, I guess. And then now I usually do one, usually one, if not two, a week to balance it out.
And so, do you have any? Can you think back to why you were apprehensive about it, or just you didn't?
I just didn't get, I guess I just didn't get a warm and fuzzy about not missing meals.
Yeah.
I know the initial transition from doing the six meals to the three meals back to, I guess you'd call it normal from the bodybuilding aspect. It was kind of weird because I was doing breakfast, lunch, dinner, then you do like a snack in between or whatever to make up
Right.
those calories that you're told you needed. And even that was kind of weird because they always said the whole aspect of you need to eat before you go to bed so that carry the calories and all that jazz. And for a while there, because I had a meal that I liked that I would eat then, and it's just kind of weird because it's an emotional detachment kind of thing for
Yeah,
that.
no, I hear you. I hear you. And also, there's a physiological response. Like once you train yourself to eat on a certain interval, you get hungry in those intervals for no other reason than you're primed for it. It's not like you actually need the food. It's you need the ritual of eating. Like you'll salivate on cue if you've been eating at exact intervals.
And I'm a pretty I went to school for engineering, and now I'm in the field and stuff, so I'm used to being exact, and that's how I a lot of my stuff is. So I was meals are pretty right on key kind of thing. So I definitely know what you're talking about with that.
How long did it take you to transition from 6 to 3 and then from 3 to fasting?
Six to three was I just it was kind of like a light switch. That was pretty easy concept, and it wasn't that hard.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of how long it took me to even want to the idea of fasting. I had been at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then did you just jump right into a 24 or did you ramp into it? Because I just talked to a different guy, Christian, and he said he started with an 8 hour, then went to a 10, then a 12, and worked his way up. Or did you just jump right in?
Yeah, I think the first time I did it lunch, so I left from which was traveling a little over 12 hours.
Can you repeat that? I think I just lost the connection there for a sec.
Okay. I started with skipping lunch, so I went from breakfast to dinner, which is roughly about 12 hours.
Okay.
And then I think from there, I tried like a, what I'll call it, like a short 24-hour. You know, you'd skip the three meals like normal, but it was like a late start and then an early end kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all. So nothing else special then, right? Just that and for the contest?
Right, yeah. I mean, nothing too extravagant.
Yeah. That's basically how this works. I think some people don't like how like unglamorous the actual process is sometimes. The results are good.
This is it.
The process is kind of plain.
Yeah.
Like, did that like add up for you? Like the idea that it was relatively simple, like it wasn't going to be all that glamorous.
Yeah, I guess because I usually try to keep stuff simple, and I'm a numbers and getting it. The average of whatever your goal is was pretty easy for me. Mm-hmm. And from dealing with the calories in, calories out stuff, how much, you know, how many calories is in there, how many calories is in whatever food you're eating. I think with those, that combination, the transition to it was not hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, as long as the numbers add up, you just kept rolling with it.
Yeah. I would just, you know, have whatever line, keep a rolling total on my back.
Yeah,
and
did you eat up on the weekends at all or no?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, unless I had something going on, if I was going out with friends or family or whatever, I would try to keep the same amount of calories per day for 7 days. But I would, there's obviously occasions that I did have to plan for that.
So you didn't make it a regular thing. It was just all event based.
Yeah, I kind of would. I had my weeks run Friday through Thursday just because it's easier for me.
Yeah.
And I would, if I had to an event, usually what I would do is see how many calories I was over and then eat down the week after.
Hmm.
It just seemed to work better for me that way.
Okay.
And yeah. Which is kind of different from what you guys mostly talk about. Usually preparing for the week, the event.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with the way you do it. I would just say that, and that's fine. That's good that you solved that and figured out you can manage that. Some people just sort of, it becomes an emotional hang up for them, and they scramble to like fix it afterwards. But if you've got the discipline to do it, and it doesn't make you feel like a failure, like you're behind, then yeah, not like it works too. And that's just whether or not you've got the disposition for it. If it worked for you, then obviously, then it, you know, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways to do it. I'm sure you've heard me talk about the bookend, where you like sometimes like maybe do a low day before and a low day after. That's kind of like it's a bit of both. I mean, that's the one I typically tend to do. Like if I've got some event on the weekend, I'll take the Friday really low and the Monday low. So I kind of split the responsibility, so to speak.
I don't know. I guess I found once I started getting into it is that it's easier to eat low after you've eaten high, which is, it can sound stupid, but it's a mental game you get to play with yourself when you start eating low, you know.
And you know what? No, I experienced that. I experienced exactly what you just said, the eating low after you've eaten high, because if you.
Yeah.
Like if you've been eating low for like a bunch of days in a row or like a week, then you eat up on the weekend. It's actually quite easy to take it really low on the Monday. Like let's say you eat up on Saturday and Sunday, it's pretty easy because you're so you feel really full and satisfied. Like it's no big deal actually. At least that's what I get. I mean, it sounds like you get the same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And but I think that's the reason why I decided to do it that way as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, and if you eat up like real high, like have a good like 4,000 calorie day, something like that, it's easy to cruise through a fast the next day because you're basically still full the next morning. Like, I don't feel like eating. You might throw in a
beer to your calories for that day, basically.
Well, so. Kinda, but they're. It gets to the point where they're. It's enough. It's enough to cruise you through that day too. At least I find that. Like if I have a big day, like I went to a football game just recently and we ate up big on that weekend. The following day, I didn't eat at all. I didn't feel like eating, and if anything, I came out neutral. But I had a ball that the day of the game. So it kind of served its purpose, so to speak. And I didn't have to actively force myself to fast. It was 20 hours later before I even felt like eating.
I've definitely experienced the same thing.
Yeah, it just worked itself out. But you know what? I only think that works if you've been eating low consistently for at least a few days before the big eat day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think just the average person who's not trying to cut eats normal, eats maintenance all along, then crushes it one day, and then has that feeling the next day. They may, but at least it seems to work well in the pattern we're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's more drastic if when you do it, you know, you eat low, then big, then fast, as opposed to eating normal, then big, and then fast.
Yeah, for some reason, whatever. I don't know, maybe we become conditioned to having less food, so that one big day really, really shuts us down for the next day. It's interesting, though, that we both experienced that. All right, so while your pecs look good, are you happy with where you got to and like where you want to go next?
I kind of relaxed after the contest and didn't really... I guess I've been more or less toying with the maintenance idea, mm-hmm. but not really trying for it. Because I've maintained, you went back up after you gained back the water weight and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I've been pretty steady since then, and I really haven't been trying to maintain them. It might be just because I've still been measuring and weighing and stuff every week, like I had then. But I think my next goal is to try to find a weight. Or a look, however you want to call it, that appeals to me, but I can still maintain it. Because I don't want to get, obviously, too low where you're fighting back and forth, or, you know.
So. You want to eventually get to the point of maintenance, right? Like, are you still looking to build muscle?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's basically, like, fine. What, stay in this condition and just continue to gain?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's that seems to be the right way around doing it. Where are you now with the workouts?
Today I just started my, how do we call it, the second round back into the strength endurance. So I did the progressive supersets last 2 weeks, and this is my first workout back into the strength endurance.
So you were doing the progressive supersets. What'd you think of those?
I like them, actually. I mean, they're hard, don't get me wrong, they're hard and stuff, but it was a love-hate relationship with them.
Yeah.
But I like the concept.
Yeah, I don't even know where I came up with that one, but it was, a lot of these are just like turbo-modified pyramid-type sets, right? Like, that's obviously that's a pyramid set too, but instead of reps, a pyramid's exercises. So that's kind of like, it's a different way to challenge you. Yeah. Okay.
The only downside of that is the whole, when you get into the middle section where you have all five workouts, then you're jumping. I noticed that you have to kind of plan that well because you don't want to be that person in the gym that has the whole dumbbell rack themselves.
Yeah, it's
something like that. So.
Yeah, it's a trick, and some people talk about that, and like with the new workout, the gauntlet, we have some stuff like that in there, but it. At some point, the standard just four sets in a row, next exercise. At some point, you depart from that, at least for some workouts. And yeah, sometimes it's just sort of cumbersome. There's no other way to say it. If you want a creative workout and you want to try to challenge your body, sometimes you do have to be that guy in the gym. I don't like having to do that, but I mean. How many weeks, months, and years in a row can you just do your straight sets and then move on, and your straight sets and move on? Sometimes it's just got to. I'm trying to build creative workouts, and this is always the challenge. Like I'm looking around the gym saying, how creative can this get? until it becomes completely impractical without having an empty gym completely to yourself. So I'm spoiled because I have three gyms I go to, and I can just find the one that fits for me when I need it. But some people are, you know, they're working around a schedule. They have to go when it's busy, and they're like, oh, I just can't, you know. I have to ad lib, and they're just stuck, like, when it's busy. So, yes, I mean, it's a catch-22. To sometimes when it gets creative, it also becomes cumbersome. So, but again,
I usually worked out in the morning, so that I didn't usually have that too big of an issue. It's when I couldn't do it in the morning, or I had something going on or whatever, and I had to, you know, do a workout in the afternoon.
Did you always get it done, or did sometimes you just have to, like, rejig it completely?
I'm usually able to get it done, or a few times I remember I had to substitute exercises on the fly because either that weight was taken or, you know, that spot was taken, kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's not a huge deal if you find a couple substitutions, as long as you're more or less on track with it, then, you know, that it's still going to produce the effect.
Yeah.
All right, so, well, I guess we're getting on to the end here. What's your advice for other guys that, you know, other guys are looking to make a change?
I mean, I would just say keep it simple, and consistency are the two biggest things that, if you don't see progress, just have faith in the process, and it'll turn out for you. I would say also to ignore all the other outside forces, because sometimes that can get put a lot of pressure on you, and if you try to read into it, it doesn't help you at all.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of if you feel like you need to talk to someone, get on the forums and either read or post, and that usually helps you out in that situation, because someone's already gone through it 9 times out of 10.
Right. Yeah, and that's a key point about other sources. If you start allowing yourself to read multiple things, it no matter how much you think the system, even if the system is actually producing results, it's easy to be seduced to start thinking you should change. And we always say this, like, I don't care what program you're following, just follow it.
Yeah.
If it's ours, follow it. If it's somebody else's, just follow it. Don't like split two programs in half and then try to do them both at the same time. You'll never be able to tell if that program is actually going to work if you don't actually follow it.
Definitely. I mean, it's the same thing when you have too many chefs in the kitchen, kind of thing. You get too many bosses and not enough followers.
Yep. Yeah, you never actually get the results that was supposed to happen. All right. Well, I mean, that's a good place to leave it. What do you think? Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being on the call, and congratulations on your placing.
Well, thank you.
All right. So for Justin Dyke, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.